You are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and it is Friday. It is 1 o'clock here in Vancouver. It is time for Scald's Hull. My name is Brian McDonald. I am your host. And today, we will continue with the broadcast of the new suspense miniseries. And we are up to episode 15 today. And then after that, right after that, we're going to take a look at a classic radio drama from the old CBS radio series X-1. So that's going to be coming up in just a moment. Stay tuned and don't go away.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
The Carl Sagan Association for the Communication of Science is pleased to present screenings of Carl Sagan's Cosmos series, held twice per month on the UBC campus. Through these and other initiatives, our goal is to promote interest and engagement with the sciences on campus and in society at large. Visit ubcsagan.org for showtimes and other events.
A weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
Yes, it's a wet Saturday. Never saw it rain harder. I'm Princey, Frederick Princey. Just an ordinary family man. I've a son, a daughter, and a wife. I'd be out golfing if it hadn't been for the rain.
I'm Mrs. Princey. I planned to drive over to the nurseries this afternoon for some arbutus. The boarders, you know, but...
Oh, the whole lot of them make me sick. Yes, I'm George, son and heir. I had a date to go punting. Punting. Couldn't find the blasted punt in this weather. So, I'm home too.
I'm Millicent. I was going to play croquet. And that's how I happened to have the mallet.
Oh, don't keep staring at the sun porch. Listen to me, all of you. Don't you see? They'd hang her. That's what they do. They'd hang her.
Oh, Fred, it's too awful.
Awful? It's catastrophic. Well, suppose this sweet, gentle, intelligent girl, respected, loved by the whole village, doing a thing like this. Think of the publicity, the disgrace. You think I'm going to resign from the bench, the vestry, sell out and live in some foggy hotel abroad? No.
I will.
Oh, don't be a fool.
Any more than you have been, the governor means.
Be quiet. Wouldn't be so bad if it were you, George. Everybody in the village knows what a worthless ne'er-do-well you are. George, stop laying on that couch like a lump. Sit up on your spine. You might be of a little use here if you could think.
Listen, governor, this isn't my funeral.
Oh, shut up. As long as I can remember, George, you've been a trial and a tribulation to me.
Oh, I can't stand it. I cannot stand it.
You've got to stand it, my dear. And keep that hysterical note out of your voice, you hear?
Yes.
Just act as if we were talking about the weather. Now, George.
Yeah?
George, if he fell down the old well, say, striking his head several times, what about it, eh?
I don't know, Governor. What about it?
Don't be an ass. I'm asking you to think. He'd have to have hit the side several times in 30 or 40 feet, and at all the correct angles. No. No, I'm afraid not. I'm afraid not. We'll have to go over it again, Millicent.
Oh, no, no, Father, no. No, I couldn't. I could not.
Millicent, we must go over it all again.
Oh, no, no. Fred, you're torturing her.
Oh, face facts, mater. With him lying up there in the sun porch, there's no use pretending it's a picnic.
They might hang you, Millicent. Oh, stop that shaking. Stop it, you hear? You must stop it. Stop it. And keep your voice quiet. Millicent, we are talking of the weather. Now, we will proceed.
I can't, not with those boots there.
Oh, you should have thought of them boots before, Millie. I'm not moving them.
Sit up, George. Stop slouching. Now, Millicent, look at me. Answer me truthfully, you hear? Answer me. You were in the croquet court.
Yes.
Who knew you were in love with this wretched curate?
Who? Well, the whole village. They've been snickering about it at the pub for 3 years past.
What a filthy mess. Millicent, we continue. You were on the croquet court.
Yes.
You were putting the croquet set into its box.
Yes, it was starting to rain, and I was carrying the balls and mallets into the sun porch. See, the box is kept in there.
You heard someone enter the garden gate and come across the yard.
Yes.
Could you see who it was?
Well, not at first. I was going into the sun porch, and I threw down all of the mallets but the red one and turned round.
It was Withers?
Yes.
So you called him?
Yes.
Loudly? Did you call him loudly? Could anyone have heard?
No, Father. No, I'm sure not. I didn't really call him. I just spoke his name. He saw me as I went to the door. He waved his hand and came over.
How can I find out whether there was anyone about? Whether he could have been seen?
I'm sure not, Father. I'm quite sure.
So, you both went into the sun porch.
Yes, it was raining hard then.
What did he say?
Well, he said hello, Millie, and to excuse his coming in the back way, but he'd set out to walk over to Liston.
Yes?
And he said, passing the park, that he'd seen the house and suddenly thought of me. And he thought he'd just look in for a moment, that he had something to tell me.
Go on.
He said he was so happy, that he had wanted to share it, that he'd heard from the bishop that he was to have a vicarage. And it wasn't only that. It meant that he could marry. And of course I thought he meant me.
Don't tell me what you thought. Tell me exactly what he said, nothing else.
Well...
Oh, stop crying. It's a luxury you can no longer afford. Tell me what happened.
He said no. He said it wasn't me. It was Ella Bragdon Davis. And he was sorry and all that, and then he went to go.
And then?
And I went mad. He turned his back. I had the red mallet from the croquet set in my hand. I forgot to drop it in the box when he came in.
Did you shout or scream? I mean, as you hit him.
No. No, I'm sure I didn't.
Did he? Come on, speak up.
No. No, Father.
And then?
I threw it down. I came straight in here. I went to look for Mother.
Oh, my poor baby. Oh, leave the child alone, Fred.
Not such a child, mater. Millie, I had no idea you were capable of...
Keep quiet. I'm thinking. You see, he probably told people he was going to Liston. Certainly no one knew he was coming here, for he didn't decide until he crossed the park. He might have been attacked in the woods. We must consider every detail... A curate with his head battered in.
Oh, don't, Father, don't!
A curate with his head battered in. Now, who would want to kill Withers?
Kill Withers? Why,
I would, the beggar. How do you do, Mrs. Princey?
Captain Smollett!
Oh, sit down, pray. Mustn't get up for me, Mrs. Princey. You either, Millicent. My word. Just being neighbourly on a bad day. I wanted to ask you about those dahlia bulbs, Princey. Took a shortcut on account of the rain and walked right in. Knew you wouldn't mind.
Oh, he heard you, Father.
Oh, my dear, why, we can all have our little jokes. Don't pretend to be shocked. This way, Smollett. This chair, facing the fire. Sit down, Mother.
Oh, just straightening the curtains off the sun porch, dear. It's so gloomy out there, might as well shut the rain out.
Oh, just talking about a little theoretical curate killing, Smollett. You know, young people these days like thrillers.
Parsonicide. Justifiable parsonicide. Have you heard about Ella Bragdon Davis? I shall be most properly laughed at.
Why? Why should you be laughed at, Smollett?
Oh, had a shot in that direction myself. She half said yes, too. Hadn't you heard? She told most people. Now it'll look as if I got turned down for a white rat in a dog collar.
Oh, too bad.
No, fortune of war.
Yes, fortune of war. Odd how it happens, isn't it? Sit down, Smollett. Millicent, console Captain Smollett with your best light conversation. You too, Mother. George and I have something to look at outside. It's this rain, you know. Bad, very bad. Come, George, make yourself useful for a change.
Righto, Governor. Maybe we'll all need raincoats, what?
No, I don't think so. Just make yourself at home, Smollett. Make yourself at home.
Cigarette, Captain Smollett?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Nasty day to be going out.
Something about the old well just off the sun porch. You know, this sudden weather seems to have loosened some of the stones.
Oh, too bad. Dashed too bad. Spoils the tennis and croquet. I mean, a day like this. Doesn't it, Millie? I say, doesn't it, Millie?
Oh, yes, it does.
She was practicing out on the croquet court earlier. But, oh, do pull your chair near the fire, Captain. It's so damp. We thought it would be cozy to light it.
Thank you. I'm quite comfortable.
I hope you don't feel too bad about Ella Bragdon Davis.
Thank you, Millie. Very kind of you. I'm all right. After all, can't always win. Just can't understand what you women see in these bloodless clerics.
Oh, I always thought that Mr. Withers is a very charming man.
I agree. But why should anyone want to marry him? You wouldn't want to marry him, would you, Millie?
Not now. Oh, that is, I, of course not.
Smollett?
Good Lord, man. You do come in on a fellow suddenly.
Yes, I did. Oh, don't mind this old double-barreled shotgun. I've been working on it. Smollett, may I have your attention for a minute? There's something on the sun porch I'd like to show you.
Why, yes, of course.
Smollett, George and I went out to see if we could shoot some rats which have been driven out of the old well by the high water, afraid they might get into the house. Now you must listen to me very carefully. Very carefully, or you will be shot. Shot by accident.
Princey, what's got into you?
You heard me ask you as you came in who would kill Withers. You also heard Millicent make a comment, an unguarded comment.
Well, what of it?
Very little. Unless you were to hear that Withers met a violent end this very afternoon. And that, my dear Smollett, is what you are going to hear.
What? Withers?
Yes.
Who killed him?
Millicent.
Good Lord.
Yes, it's a mess. And of course you would have remembered and guessed.
Maybe. Yes, I suppose I should.
Therefore, you constitute a problem.
Why did she kill him?
No, it's one of those disgusting things. Pitiable, too. She deluded herself into thinking he was in love with her.
Good heavens, Millie! Oh, yes, of course. I see.
He had told her about the Davis girl.
I understand.
Now, I have no wish, as you will comprehend, that she should be proved either a lunatic or a murderess. I could hardly go on living here after that.
I suppose not.
On the other hand, you know about it.
Yes, I see, and that makes me a problem. You're wondering if I could keep my mouth shut. If I promise...
I'm wondering if I could believe you.
But if I promise...
If things went smoothly, yes. But not if there was any sort of suspicion, any questioning. You would be afraid of being an accessory.
I don't know...
I do. What are we going to do?
I can't see anything else. You'd never be fool enough to do me in. You can't get rid of two corpses.
Oh, I regard it as a better risk than the other. It could be an accident. Or you and Withers could both disappear. There are possibilities in that.
Listen, you can't.
I can. But there may be a way out. There is, Smollett. You gave it to me yourself.
I did. What?
You said you would kill Withers. You have a motive.
Look here, I was joking, of course. You saw that.
You are always joking. Listen, Smollett, I can't trust you. You must trust me. Else I will kill you now in the next minute. I mean that. You can choose between dying and living.
Go on.
Now, there's the old well just outside the sun porch door. That's where I'm going to put Withers. No one outside knows he's come up here this afternoon. No one will ever look there for him unless you tell them. You must give me evidence that you have murdered Withers.
I murdered him? Why do you want that?
So that I shall be dead sure that you will never open your lips on the subject.
I see. What evidence?
George, hit him in the face.
With pleasure, Governor.
No! Oh!
I can't stand it!
Keep out of this.
Why, Captain, you should be more careful. Look what your teeth did to my knuckles.
Again, George.
Okay.
No! Oh!
Father, how can you?
You women keep out of this. I'm sorry, Smollett, but there must be traces of a struggle between you and Withers. Then it will not be altogether safe for you to go to the police.
Can't you take my word, man?
I will, when we're finished. George?
Yeah?
Get the croquet mallet. It's on the sun porch floor.
Right, Governor.
Take your handkerchief to the handle.
Yeah, I got it, Governor. There, Captain. There's the weapon.
As I told you, Smollett. Now, you'll just grasp the end that smashed Withers' head. I shall shoot you if you don't.
Good Lord, man. You can't. All right.
There. That's it. Now, deposit it outside on the side of the house. Out of the rain, of course. No. Wait, George.
Eh?
First, you'd better pull a few hairs out of his head and put them under the nails of Withers' right hand.
Princey, have you gone mad? Do you know what you're doing?
With this gun, yes. Go ahead, George.
Sorry to muss up your hair, Captain.
Ow!
Shut up, Smollett.
There, that's all we need. Now for Withers, we'll fix it all right up.
Smollett, you may turn around. Withers is just there in the sun porch. Draw back the curtain.
Good Lord, Princey.
Yes, messy. But we'll get him fixed up. Now you, Smollett, you've got to drag him through the door and dump him in the old well.
Just beyond the door, Captain.
I won't touch him. I won't.
All right. Stand aside. Out of range, George.
Father!
Keep quiet. My aim's none too great as it is.
Wait! Wait a minute!
That's better, Smollett. Much better. Go on now. In here. You'll have to take him outside.
By the shoulders ought to do it, Captain.
Quiet, George. Go on, Smollett. Go on. You've seen dead men before. Drag him. Drag him!
Oh, Mother!
Come away from the window, dear. Don't look.
But Captain Smollett!
Your father is a very resourceful man, Millicent. I'm sure what he is doing is right.
No! But the captain! I can't stand it!
I say, are you two still at it? There's enough trouble round here without you blubbering.
I'm not blubbering, George Princey!
So you see, Smollett, everything is perfectly safe. They'll never look in our well. You see how safe it is?
I guess it is.
Good heavens, man, you're dripping wet. Why didn't you slip your raincoat on? Tea ready, my dear?
Just a minute, dear. I'll ring for Bridget.
Exactly what you need, Smollett. A cup of tea. Best thing in the world to ward off a cold. Sit down, won't you? Don't mind getting the chair wet. A cigarette? Help yourself.
Ah, Bridget. Put the tray here in front of me on the table. That's it.
I say, Captain, you've gone and cut your lip.
I just knocked it.
Oh, how dreadful. Here, Bridget, give the captain this cup.
Oh, no, thank you. I think I'll be running along now, if you don't mind.
My Captain Smollett, without any tea?
Oh, yes, if you don't mind, Mrs. Princey. If I could just have my raincoat.
I'll get it for you, Captain.
This is very distressing, Smollett, very.
Oh, I'll be all right presently, I'm sure.
Here we are now. Let me help you.
Oh, thank you.
Don't worry, old fellow. Don't worry at all.
Oh, no, good afternoon.
Nothing serious, I imagine. A little rest and he'll be right as rain. By the way, Millicent, you're not looking any too well.
No, not well at all. I'm sure it was that croquet court. Being outdoors in weather like this is simply foolhardy.
The mate is right, Millie. You saw what happened to Captain Smollett.
Come along, dear. I shall give you a hot foot bath, and we'll put you to bed. A couple of days in bed, and you'll be fine again.
Get plenty of rest, Millicent, and don't worry about a thing. That's the best cure.
Well, I guess I'll have a little rest too, Governor. It's a fine afternoon for a nap.
Indeed it is, son. Well, enjoy yourself. I'll see you later. Right now, I have business to attend to.
Number, please.
Get me the police station, please.
Police station? Right away, sir.
Police headquarters, Sergeant Yancey speaking.
Oh, hello, Sergeant. This is Princey of Abbott's Road. I believe you know me.
Oh, indeed I do, Mr. Princey.
Sergeant, a horrible thing has just happened. Quite extraordinary. Murder, in fact.
Murder?
I'm afraid it looks rather bad for, well, a personal friend of ours, unfortunately. We saw him do it. You'd better send someone over right away.
Our man should be there right about now, Mr. Princey.
I beg your pardon?
I say, our man should be there now. Constable Martin has his post right below your house there. Just rang in. It seems Captain Smollett was with him.
Captain Smollett?
He reported some rather queer goings-on at your place. But I certainly didn't understand it was murder. Just don't touch anything, Mr. Princey, and don't worry at all.
No. I won't, Sergeant. Thank you.
Governor? Governor, where are you?
I'm right here. Stop shouting.
We have some visitors, Governor.
Why, yes. Yes, I can see that. Well, Constable, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Princey.
And Smollett, I say, what a remarkable fellow you are. Coming back like this, here to reenact the crime?
Only the one against me, Mr. Princey. The one against the curate, I'll leave to you people.
Extraordinary sense of humor.
Mr. Princey, I just had a look at what's in your will. Not a pretty sight, that. Not a pretty sight at all.
Yes, Captain Smollett was thorough, if nothing else.
You saw him when he did it, sir? Out in the back?
Oh, quite. We were just returning from a walk. Smollett had evidently been laying for the curate, hiding out in those bushes by the road, I imagine.
He was never inside this house?
Never.
And you say, Captain?
I say that, while I was inside this house, a guest of the family, I was coerced into dragging the curate's body outside and dumping it in the well.
Well, there we are.
Not entirely, Constable. If I remove my raincoat, notice how damp I got my clothes when I went outside without it.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it?
Quite.
He undoubtedly removed his coat at some point between here and your post. I might as well tell you that his weapon, a red croquet mallet, is out by the side of the house. I shouldn't be at all surprised that you would find his fingerprints all over it.
All over the end of the mallet, Constable. The end that mashed Wither's head. Not the end I'd have had to grasp in order to do the mashing.
Governor!
That's a decent try, Smollett, but it won't work. There must be other evidence, Constable. You'll undoubtedly find that when you examine the body. You'll find his hair.
Oh, he means my hair under Wither's nails. Well, sir, if you look carefully, I believe you'll find a few of my precious hairs under his son's nails, too.
Here, what are you trying to...
Shut up. Constable, this is an utter waste of time. So far as the violent struggle between Smollett and Withers is concerned, Smollett's face speaks for itself. Quite eloquently, I believe.
Oh, but no more eloquently than your son's knuckles. As you see, Constable, a fresh abrasion. He did that on my teeth. Or did he?
What?
I say, or did he? He might have done it on Withers' teeth.
Oh, I see. I see what you mean.
But I didn't. The governor said... He said...
Oh, keep still, you nitwit. Let me think.
As a matter of fact, George, the more I think of it, the more I'm convinced it was your voice that I heard. Quite a vigorous quarrel. Something about the curate jilting your sister.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Smollett.
Very well, Princey. If your son didn't do it, who did?
That's what I'd like to know. How about it, Mr. Princey?
Well, that is a sticker, all right. George, my boy, it looks like you're elected.
Elected? What do you mean? I didn't do it. Why, I had nothing to do with it.
Keep your mouth shut, will you?
I won't. I'm not going to take the blame for her. Millie did it. She did it with the mallet I saw.
You could prove that?
Yes. Her fingerprints on the mallet handle.
Why, George, don't you remember when you made me touch the mallet when you picked it up with your handkerchief?
No. No.
George, I'm quite sure you wiped that handle clean. Oh, well, I could hardly expect you to remember that if you can't even remember killing the curate.
Governor?
I told you to keep still.
But, Governor, you're not going to turn me over.
As long as I can remember, George, you've been a trial and a tribulation to me.
Governor, I...
You really shouldn't have done it, son. You really shouldn't have.
No, George, that was definitely wrong. I say, Princey, I think I'll have that cup of tea after all. Nothing like it in weather like this.
So ends Wet Saturday by John C. Alsadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was adapted for radio by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes, from the short story by John Collier. Damon Krall was Princey, Adrian Wilkinson was Millicent, Daniel Hackman was Captain Smollett, Sean Hackman was George, Dana Perry Hayes was Mrs. Princey, and Steve Moulton was the constable. I'm Damon Krall. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in suspense.
It's a stressful time of year, which means it's more important than ever to take good care of yourself. Take this moment to feel good. Follow along with this mini meditation and reduce stress quickly. Breathe in and hold for 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exhale slowly. Breathe in once more and hold for 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exhale slowly. Visit students.ubc.ca/feelgood for other ways to live well, feel good, and achieve success.
Hi, my name's Matthew. When I first got back from a military tour in Afghanistan, any time I heard a siren or even a car alarm, I'd lose it completely. I would turn into a wild man, screaming, waving my arms. People would yell at me, "Shut up, you crazy. Get a job, would ya?" Well, I didn't go out and get a job. I got help instead. Now, I'm in a clean and safe apartment. I have friends and helpers who understand me. I landed a decent job. But I gotta admit, I still don't like car alarms or sirens. I used to think mental illness was a death sentence. I got life instead.
This message was produced by Columbian Center Society and Radio Malaspina in British Columbia.
X-5, 4, 3, 2. X-1, fire.
Tonight, George Leffert's original radio drama of the 21st century, Parigi's Wonderful Dolls.
The doll shop stood on a quiet Washington side street, not too far from the sprawling Pentagon building. A woman and a child waited outside, the little girl peering eagerly through the window at the dolls inside, and the woman glancing impatiently at her wristwatch, as if expecting someone who was late for an appointment. And there was nothing about the doll shop to warn them that they were waiting to keep an appointment with doom.
Oh, Mommy, look!
Yes, what is it, dear?
In the window of the shop, the dying dolls. Oh, Mommy, do you think Daddy will buy me one?
Well, we'll ask him when he comes, dear. He said 3 o'clock on this corner.
I see him, Mommy. There he is.
Oh, Henry, here we are.
Hello, dear.
Hi.
Sorry I'm late.
Well, we've been waiting for you. Cindy's been telling...
I'm afraid I'll have to call off the shopping, Alma.
Oh, Henry, we promised.
Yes, I know.
Cindy.
I'm sorry. It's just one of those things. You've been the wife of an army colonel long enough to know his life isn't his own.
What is it this time?
Oh, some more of that flying sphere nonsense. The pilot who says he sighted it last month crashed and was killed today, so the general wants a full report.
Dear, what next?
Daddy!
We'll have a staff meeting at the Pentagon at 3:15.
Daddy, look in this window.
Oh, I haven't time, dear.
Just for a minute, Daddy, please.
Cindy, I haven't time to stop and watch a bunch of 6-inch dolls parading around in the shop. See, they are lifelike, aren't they? Look at that, Alma. Dolls are marching around like a regular review. They've even got their own little band.
Henry, your staff meeting.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Yes, I've got to run. Now, look, don't go spending a lot of money on that nonsense, Alma.
No, dear.
Bye.
Bye, dear.
Bye, Cindy.
Bye, Daddy. Oh, Mommy, look. Look, the band's going to play.
Aren't they wonderful, honey? You know, it's funny. I must have stood on this corner 1,000 times, and I've never even noticed this shop before.
Good evening, children.
Oh, well, good evening.
Mommy, he talks awful funny.
Hush, Cindy.
Would you like to step inside the shop of Santo Felice?
Well, yes, we would.
This way. Here in the shop of Santo Perigi, creator of Perigi's universal, wonderful dolls, the world of adult reality is blended with the world of child's fantasy.
This is a new shop, isn't it, Mr. Perigi?
What is new and what is old? Come, this way. Would you like to meet one of my little ones?
Oh, yes.
This one in the red jacket is Toto. Speak, little one.
How do you do? Mommy, he talks, the dolls.
Amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
That is nothing for Perigi's wonderful dolls. Listen, sing, Toto. Sing for the little girl.
My name is Toto.
Cindy, listen.
Sing, Toto.
Men are big and tall. Dolls are very small. When men begin to fall, the dolls will rule them all.
Oh, work. Toto, work. Well, how do they work? Mr. Perigi.
How do they work? Ah, that is the secret of the great Perigi, greatest of all doll masters. To make an ordinary doll is nothing. To make a perfect replica, that is something. But to make a doll with intelligence, that is the work of an artist, huh?
Well, yes. Well, they must be very expensive.
Madame, when I construct a doll like Toto, I cannot bear to be parted from him permanently. So instead of selling, I rent my little people.
You rent dolls?
Precisely. $10. I have but one request. When you grow tired of my dolls, you must return them to me in good condition.
Oh, Mommy, could we take him home?
Take him home! Take him home! Take him home!
Oh, look, Mommy, look! He's bowing and dancing. Oh, Mommy, he wants to come. Please, I'll take such good care of it, please.
Well, honey, we'll have to deal with your father later, but... Well...
Oh, Mommy!
All right, wrap him up, Mr. Perigi. Oh, dear, I have a feeling when your father comes home, we'll be sorry.
Be sorry! Now, Toto, my room is, and you're going to sleep right here next to my pillow. Oh, Toto, don't laugh like that. I'm going to have to teach you some manners. You be quiet, because my daddy will be home soon, and he's a colonel in the army, and he'll bust you to private if you don't behave. Now, you wait here. I'm going to introduce you to my puppy dog, Mr. Blister. So be good now. Here, Blister. Here, Blister. Come on, Blister. Come in. Mr. Blister, now this is Toto. Oh, dear, I don't think Mr. Blister likes you, Toto. Stop it, Mr. Blister. Come over here and shake hands with Toto, Mr. Blister. Come on, now.
Mr. Blister, come over here. Why, what happened, dear?
Mr. Blister tried to bite my doll. Look how frightened Toto is.
Dolls don't get frightened, Cindy.
But he is, Mommy. He screamed.
You just imagined it, honey.
But he did. He did.
Well, Mr. Blister didn't mean it. You know he's the gentlest little pup alive.
He isn't. He's nasty and I hate him.
Cindy, you've hurt his feelings.
He tried to buy my new doll, and I don't ever want to see him again, ever.
Oh, dear. All right, Mr. Blister, you come downstairs with me. Come on now. Cindy's angry at you tonight.
I'll kill him.
Why, Cindy, where did you hear a thing like that?
Toto said it.
Well, I see. Well, you've had an exciting day, honey. You brush your teeth now and go to bed. Daddy's coming home late, so we'll see you in the morning. Hmm? Good night, darling. Sleep well.
I hate him, Mr. Toto. I hate him.
Hate him, hate him, hate him, hate him.
Morning, Alma. Breakfast ready?
Just a minute. How was the staff meeting last night, dear?
Oh, horrible bore as usual. Where's the little one?
Up in her room. She'll be down in a minute.
Oh, say, remind me to take some papers back to the War Department, will you? Mm-hmm. I left them in my strong box.
I Henry.
Hmm?
You told me it was against regulations to bring secret papers home.
Well, I had to finish some work for the old man. Nobody will ever know the difference.
Well, suppose not.
Oh, Theo, would you feed the puppy before we sit down? His bowl's under the sink.
Where is he? See, that's funny. Here's his supper from last night, only half eaten.
Getting fussy.
Blister? Hey, Blister! Blister! Where the dickens is that mutt?
Maybe he's on the back porch.
Oh, maybe. Here, Blister! Here, Blister! Alma.
Mm-hmm. What is it, dear?
Alma, look.
Why, Henry. Is he?
Yes, he's dead.
But how? What happened?
From the looks of it, he might have been poisoned.
Poisoned? Who on earth would do a thing like that to an innocent little pup?
I don't know. Let's see his dish.
Oh, Henry.
I don't understand this at all. Say, what's this?
What's what?
Well, look, there are pieces of broken glass in his food. Blue glass.
Glass? Glass. Henry.
Huh?
Well, I just remembered something.
What?
It may just be coincidence, but in the bathroom this morning...
What about the bathroom?
Cindy's blue glass. You know the one with the Mickey Mouse on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was broken, Henry. I found pieces in the wastebasket. I meant to ask her about it.
Oh, Alma, for heaven's sake, you aren't suggesting that our little girl... Why, she loved Blister more than anyone.
Not last night, she didn't.
Why not?
Well, he went after Toto.
Well, who's Toto?
Oh, her new doll.
You bought her one of those dolls?
Well, I just rented it.
Rented it?
Yes.
Look, Alma.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, all right. What's this got to do with Blister?
Well, he went for the doll, and Cindy... Well, Cindy said... Henry, she said she'd kill him.
What? Well, that's ridiculous.
It's true.
Good heavens, a 9-year-old child putting ground glass in dog food? She'd have to be a monster.
Mommy?
Now, don't say anything. I'll talk to her.
Good morning, dear.
Morning, Mommy.
Morning
Daddy.
Hello.
What's the matter?
Nothing, Cindy. Sit down, dear.
Yes, sir.
Cindy, your mother tells me you broke your blue drinking glass.
Oh, no, I didn't break it.
Now, Cindy...
I didn't.
Well, now, somebody broke it. It wasn't your mother and it wasn't me.
Well, then it must have been Toto.
Cynthia.
Cindy, you know Toto was only a doll. Now, a doll couldn't have broken your glass, could he? Well?
But he must have done it, Daddy.
Cindy, you know how Daddy feels about little girls who tell untruths. I'd hate to think you'd done something you knew was wrong and you were blaming it on a doll.
What's the matter with Mr. Blister? Is he sick?
He's dead, Cindy.
Oh, no, he can't be dead. He isn't dead, Daddy. No, he isn't. He isn't. Mommy.
Yes, dear.
But he'll come back. He has to come back.
No, he won't come back, honey.
Not ever.
No, Cindy, not ever.
Now that we've told you, Cindy, do you want to change your mind about the glass?
Henry, let alone.
Daddy, you think I killed
him? Don't see what you've done. The child feels guilty enough, Henry.
Oh, dear, this is no time for feelings to interfere.
Feelings don't know any time, Henry. When they come, they just come. You go up to your room, honey. Daddy and I'll be up in just a minute.
I don't want to.
Please, Cindy. We'll be right up. Please. There, that's a good girl. And close the kitchen door behind you.
Listening to NBC Radio's award-winning science fiction series, X-1. Now we return to X-1 and Parigi's Wonderful Dolls.
Eat your supper, dear.
I'm not hungry.
Oh, Cindy, you scarcely touched your lunch.
I don't feel like eating.
Is it Mr. Blister?
Oh, Mom.
Cindy, answer your mother.
Oh, Henry, she'll work it out in her own way, dear.
Oh, I don't know. When I was a boy, there was such a thing as discipline. Where this child is being brought up...
Henry!
Well, it's true. There's no respect. Lying. Oh, I don't know. Alma, what's happened to us? We were a nice, peaceful, happy family until you bought that cursed doll.
Now who's blaming things on the doll?
Well, it's true.
Henry. You wanted to get some papers from your strongbox.
What? Oh, yes, excuse me.
Will you try to eat something, Cindy, now, darling?
Yes, dear.
Alma! Alma!
Yes, Henry, what is it?
Alma, it's gone.
What's gone?
The box, the strongbox is gone.
But it can't be. The door to your study's always locked, and you and I have the only key.
I know all that, and I tell you it isn't there.
Well, who would...
I don't know, Alma. Those confidential reports, if they ever get into the wrong hands...
Oh, I warned you about keeping them here.
What if it ever came out in the open? Can't you see the papers? Army colonel, derelict in duty.
Call the police, Henry.
What, and throw my career in the wastebasket after 17 years? We've got to find it ourselves.
But it was there when I went in to clean this morning.
Well, what about your key?
Well, it's right here. I always keep it right with me. That's funny.
Oh, no.
But my other keys are all on the ring.
You've lost it.
I don't see how.
Alma, how could you do it?
Henry, please.
Come on, we'll search the house. I can't think of anything else to do.
Oh, dear, you're going to miss your staff meeting.
Well, all right, never mind the meeting. My whole career goes up in smoke if we don't find those reports. Now, somebody get hold of your key and open that room. I know Cindy.
Oh, let the child alone. She's been through enough. You know she wouldn't do a thing like that.
I don't know anything anymore. I don't know my own child. I don't even know you. All I know is that strong box is gone with papers that are dynamite if the wrong person gets them. The question being who? What's that?
Coming from upstairs.
Dodo, Dodo, Dodo! Kill him, kill him, kill him! How do you do?
Stop it!
How do you do?
Blasted little imp! There.
Henry.
But since we've got this thing...
Henry!
What?
Look.
Where? What?
Around the doll's neck. The key. The key to your study.
It was Cindy, after all.
I don't believe it.
Ever since she got this fool doll, she's been acting half insane. First the dog, now this. I think she hates us, Alma.
Henry, Cindy is my child, and I know her. I know she's a good, sensitive little person with no malice in her.
You're just simply refusing to face the facts, dear.
What are you going to do?
I'm going downstairs and have a talk with that young lady. Cindy, you're not telling me the truth.
Oh, yes, I am, Daddy.
Now, all I'm asking is that you tell me the truth. Now, where is it?
I didn't take it, Daddy. Honest, I didn't take it.
I suppose you're going to tell me now that a little 6-inch doll took my strong box and hid it. Well? Cindy, I'm speaking to you.
I didn't take it, Daddy. You don't understand. Toto did it. Oh, he's terrible, awful. He says things. He says he's going to kill everybody.
Oh, Cindy, you're inventing things.
It's true. At night when I'm sleeping, he stands next to my pillow and whispers things to me. Awful things. He told me he'd kill me, too, if I told him.
Alma, I think this child is sick. I think she needs a doctor.
She's frightened, Henry. She's trembling like a leaf. Come on, darling. We'll go up to your room.
I don't want to
go
up there.
No, honey, Mommy will stay with you.
I'm afraid. He's up there.
Who, Cindy?
Toto.
Well, he won't be up there for long. Mr. Toto is going right back to Parigi's wonderful doll shop before I lose my sanity, which means right now.
Ah, Colonel Grayson. Welcome to the home of Parigi's wonderful doll.
Are you Parigi?
Santor Parigi, creator of the universal doll. The doll with the mind. The doll.
Yes,
with...
well, I'm returning one of your masterpieces.
Oh? If you will step into the rear of my shop. Now, what is the complaint?
There's no complaint. Here's your doll. Good riddance.
My little Toto, rejected, you found the world of men too filled with hate.
Hate, 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 hate!
We will change all that later on. Return to your comrades in the window, little one. And now, Colonel Grayson?
I think we have no further business, sir.
Ah, but we do, Colonel. Let me see. Aye. Here it is. Do you recognize this, Colonel?
That's my strong box. Quit.
My little Toto is very clever, sir.
Are you trying to tell me your doll stole that from me?
Let us not say stole. I'm merely keeping it in custody.
What's your game, Parigi?
Blackmail. You give me what I want, I do not ruin your career.
What do you want?
Information. We already know something from the reports of the War Department, reported by one of your pilots.
What government do you represent?
I represent Parigi's wonderful dolls, none other.
I'm not so naive, sir.
Perhaps I should explain. Each man hides something from the world. Each man loves something more than life. With the help of my wonderful dolls, I obtain personal information which enables me to control the men who control the world, men like you.
Hand over that strong box.
I warn you, I have a gun.
Give it to me.
You are being foolish. Put down that walking stick.
Now.
No closer.
Now. Hello. Give me the police. Hello. This is Colonel Henry Grayson. I've just killed a man. Parigi's doll shop, corner of 4th and Lexington. The body is in the rear. I'll wait for you. Shut up. Shut up, you little fiend!
Colonel Grayson!
Did I hear you speak?
Colonel Henry Grayson!
Oh, it can't be. I must be going out of my mind. A 6-inch doll... Shut up! The master's dead!
You are mistaken, Colonel. I, Toto, am the master.
What do you mean?
If you will examine the body of Santo Parigi, you will see that he does not bleed. And he does not bleed, Colonel, because Santo Parigi never lived.
Never lived?
Santo Parigi is a doll.
A doll? But he's a man. He talks. He walks.
The people of Meretrix are skillful doll builders.
Meretrix? Doll builders? Who are you?
I am Xanthus Imperator, commander of the legions of the third planetoid, Meretrix.
Legions? Planetoid?
My people and I, whom you regard as dolls, come from a tiny planet beyond the moon.
What?
So small that it cannot support our population.
That's true.
We landed one of our space spheres on Earth 3 months ago with the intention of colonizing. Unfortunately, one of your pilots intercepted us.
So that's why you wanted our information.
Precisely.
And you are human?
Quite human. Of course, in order to deal with Earth people without suspicion, we were forced to construct Parigi, a man-sized doll.
No, it can't be. I can't believe this. I'm having hallucinations. I've got to get out of here.
That will be impossible. We have weapons of destruction quite unknown to Earth people.
I phoned the police. They'll be here soon.
By the time they arrive, my people will have prepared something quite shocking.
Keep me covered, Brian.
Okay, Sarge.
All right. You the guy who turned in the call?
Yes, that's right, Sergeant.
Where's the body?
Well, you see, it isn't exactly a body.
What do you mean?
It's a doll.
What?
Now, wait, you've got to let me explain. I know this sounds fantastic, but I've stumbled onto an unbelievable plot.
Yeah? Keep talking.
Well, you see, these little dolls, they aren't really dolls. They're tiny people. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a big doll named Santor Parigi. They're using him as a front to run the shop.
He's off his trolley, Sarge.
Now, look here.
Now, listen, mister, we got to call it. There was a murder here. Now, if there was one, where is the body?
Well, it's behind the curtains. In the back. Only, you see, it isn't really a body. It's a big wax dummy. It's all part of their plot to gain control of the world.
Holy smoke, he's really off his rocker.
Now, look, if you don't believe me, I'll prove it to you. Come here. Look behind this curtain, you'll see the dummy lying on the floor.
Welcome, gentlemen. Are you looking for something?
Parigi! This is impossible. I smashed his skull.
Do you know this guy?
That's the one, the doll.
What's your name, mister?
Parigi, Santor Parigi, creator of the universal doll.
Uh-huh. You ever see this man?
Never until just now.
That's not true. He's lying. I tell you, he's nothing but a big doll. The real masters are the little dolls.
Ryan, are you getting this?
He's wacko, Sarge.
No,
he's a fruitcake.
I'm not crazy, I tell you. I can prove it. They must have fixed up his head where I smashed it in. Touch him and you'll see.
Mr. Parigi, you know what this guy is talking about?
The man is demented, obviously.
No, that's not true. I tell you, there's a plot to control the Earth. I've got to call the War Department. They want to know about the flying sphere.
Holy mackerel, this gets worse every minute. Ryan.
Take him to headquarters?
No, save some time. Take him down to Psycho Ward.
Okay, all right, Buck Rogers. Come along nice and quiet.
No, don't you see? He's nothing but a man-sized doll.
I'm sure the little ones are going to take over the Earth, and you're going away and cut out some...
Listen to me, you've got to...
Sorry you had all this trouble, Mr. Parigi.
Poor chap. He is obviously suffering from delusions.
Well, he's not the only one in Washington today. You know, we've been getting a whole string of crack-ups lately. Bigwigs blowing their tops under pressure. If you could see some of the names in our confidential files...
You keep confidential files on cases like this?
Certainly. Believe me, they'd be dynamite if they ever got in the wrong hands. Well, I'd better be running along. My little girl would be nuts for that.
So? Then please accept the doll for saving my life. That madman might have killed me.
Yes, but I...
Take Toto home with you as a gift.
Well, now, I don't know, Mr. Parigi. It's against regulations for us to accept favors.
But this is not for you. It is for your little daughter. And if you will only take the doll and give him a good home, you will be doing me a great favor.
Well, then, if you insist, and thanks very much. When my kid sees this, will she be surprised?
Yes, Toto will come as a great surprise. A very great surprise. Eh, Toto?
This was from the world of X-1. Tonight's story, Parigi's Wonderful Dolls. An original drama written for NBC Radio by George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were Denise Alexander, Joan Alexander, Les Damon, Joe DeSantis, and Leon Janney as the doll Toto. Music by Al Behrman, narration by Norman Rose. Tonight's program was directed by Edward King, executive producer Robert Wogan.
Jazz is a word that means many different things to many different people. The best definition of jazz that I know of is the jazz show on CITR with yours truly, Gavin Walker. Monday nights, 9 to midnight, with the jazz feature at 11 o'clock. Check us out every Monday.
Out there will be smashed to bits. Use your emergency equipment.
It won't work. Nothing works. It's got to. It's no use. Everything seems to be stuck.
My life's worth a try anyway. Come on, fellas. You can make it.
Just listen to this. Spider-Man saves freighter. You can't tell me the captain couldn't have brought his ship in without the help of that publicity-seeking show-off, Spider-Man!
Don't get caught wasting power. Unplug cell phone, camera, and other battery chargers when charging is complete. Many electronic devices continue to use power even when you are not operating them. The amount of energy consumed by electronics in a year when they were not in use could power Whistler Blackcomb Resorts for 43 years. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
And you're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and we're just about out of time here. It is almost 2 o'clock, and coming up next is Radio Zero with Tyler and Cam. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your early weekend here in beautiful Vancouver. I was Brian McDonald, your host of Scalds Hall, and thank you very much for listening to us here. Enjoy your day.
I'm gonna be round.